Not Pastor Eben's word.
I am who it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can be who it says I can be.
And I will have what it says I can have.
Today,
I will hear the word of God.
I boldly declare
that my mind is alert.
My heart is receptive.
My ears are open.
And I better not go to sleep.
I'll never be the same.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. It is quick. It is powerful. It is living. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never pass away. We thank you that you watch over your word to perform it. And as we've come gathered today, we left our houses to come into your house to hear what you have to say to us. And I pray today that, Father, this church and those who are watching, Father, they'll look beyond my status as a man of God, and they'll look to the God of the man to hear the message. And I thank you that as we hear it, receive it, believe it, and activate it, you will definitely cause some things to happen in our lives. And so we thank you in advance for what you're going to do as this word takes place in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So we're in a series entitled Divine Momentum. Everybody say divine momentum. Moving from stagnation into acceleration. And our prophetic theme for the year, if you haven't been around, is this is going to be a year of momentum. Just look at somebody and tell them, this is your year for momentum. Amen. And I believe not only is that prophetic word going to take place in our lives, but I believe we're going to see what the verse in Amos says, and that is God's going to cause some things to happen so fast your head is going to swim. Now, last week, we started talking about creating momentum with your money, and it was one of those messages that God prompted because I had something completely different to talk about. And so I believe it was very powerful and eye-opening, so if you did not get a chance to watch last week's message, go back and do it, because today I'm using it as a sequel to do what we're going to talk about today. So our lesson title today is Creating Momentum with Your Money. Money part two, but I have a subtitle, which is The Power of Seed. Everybody say the power of seed. Now, we've already discussed momentum is a force or energy that happens when something or someone moves forward. It is power released when movement is made. Everybody say momentum. Is power released when movement is made. So money, listen, must move in order for it to have momentum. The key, like I said on last week, is to make sure that your money is moving in the right direction. And the only way that's going to happen is that it has to start with God. And so last week we read Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, and it reads, "But my God," everybody say, "My God." "But my God shall," and that word "shall" means absolutely, "he shall absolutely supply" how much? "All of our" what? "Need," and this is according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, not ours. And the revelation that we got on last week was this: God provides for our need by supplying us with seed. Everybody say this, say, "God provides for my need by supplying me with seed." And so we're going to start our lesson off today. And here's what I want to do. I want to show an illustration from that revelation. And this illustration was actually done in the third service on last week. You may say, "Well, Pastor, why didn't you give the illustration to us last week in the second service?" It's because I didn't have it. After you preach something twice, you get information and revelation about it as you keep going. So I'm going to ask our media team to go ahead and cue the video up. And here's the thing. Here's the only rule for the video, because I could have just reenacted it up here. But there are too many packages of mints for me to keep opening them and wasting them. Okay, so here's the rule for the video. Whatever I ask you to do in the video, you need to do in here. If I ask you to say something, I need you to come on, y'all. If I need you to say something, I need you to okay, and if I need you to do something, you need to. Okay, so media department, would you just roll the video?
So you say, well, Pastor, what is that? Here's a revelation from that. I said earlier, until you get a revelation, you always cater to your own needs. So here's a revelation, and I'm going to demonstrate it here. God provides our need by supplying us with seed. How much, it said he would supply how much of our need? He would supply all of our need, and I'm saying he does that by supplying us with seed. And that's why some people's needs are not met, because when the seeds came, they ate it. They warred. They didn't take care of it. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? Look at 2 Corinthians 9:6, and I'm going to demonstrate this. It says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small harvest or a crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must decide in your own heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Watch what happened. And God will generously, how will he do that? He will generously provide how much of your need? All of your need. And then he says, and when he does that, then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. And the scripture says they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. Watch verse 10, because here's the foundation of the verse. For God is the one. Who's the one? He is the one who provides what? He provides what? Now look at the Amplified version of 2 Corinthians 9. It says, now he who provides what, church? Seed to who? Soil. Who does God provide seed for? Soil. He provides seed for the sower. Now here's what I want you to get. Notice that it said God supplies seed to the sower, not to the storer. So let me show you or demonstrate to the best of my abilities, because this didn't come to me until I was finished with the second service. So they can't even view this because we ain't even videoing it. I mean, we videoing it, but they ain't gonna see it. So God said he would supply what? All of our need according to what? His riches and glory. Now, when we read that scripture about what we should do when we work, it says we should be working so that we can supply the needs of somebody else, right? So we're working for seed. Everybody say, we're working for seed. We're working for seed. So this represents your paycheck. God has given you the opportunity to earn some seed by you working. And that's why I say, if a man don't work, he don't eat. You need to work. Look at your name and say, get a job. This is your job. This is your job. This is your job. So this is where the cycle of seed time and harvest ends before it starts. We're supposed to do what Abel did when we get paid. Abel, what he did, he gave the first. So let's say that there are 100 of these mints in here. What's 10% of 100, church? 10. One, this is the ground. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The Bible says, bring all the tithes to the storehouse, not your mama's house, not your cousin's house, but God's house. So now I'm planting in God's house, but that ain't what Abel did by himself. He gave the first and some fat. That's some offering. So now, see, cause when you give tithe, this ain't your money. You returning money. So that's my 10% right there. So now I need to give some offering. Okay. All right. I'm going to give 2. That's it. Okay. But I obeyed the Lord. Because who does he give seed to? He gives seed to the sower, not the store. So now I've done my part. So now, watch this now. Because I did my part, God is not a man that he should lie. He has to do his part. And see, people who can't believe this, my question to you is, how you believe in then you're going to go to heaven that you ain't seen? I mean, if God is reneging on heaven, if he's reneging on this, he's reneging on heaven. He's a renigger.
Boy, Okay, take it like you want to. Now, when you play spades, don't they say you reneging? Okay, all right, that's what I mean now. If he's reneging on what he said he would do here, what do you think he's going to do when we die?
So now I done planted seed in the ground. Now I'm waiting for him to do what he said he would do. He said, when I bring the tither to the storehouse for me to be in his house, he said he's going to open some windows of heaven and he's going to pour out a blessing. So I should get a harvest from this right here. This is the harvest bowl. So now I don't obey God. A harvest is coming. And the harvest, watch this now. See that harvest right there? That's the harvest, right? Let me ask you a question. Is the harvest more than what I planted? You know why? Because this matches, give, and it shall be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and run it over. I said, here's the problem. This is why most people's needs become met, because they get excited about the harvest and they spend it all. But what you're supposed to do with your harvest is to repeat the cycle. So now I got some increase from this. So now I'm going to give 10% of that. And then I'm going to get an offering from that. And so God says, oh, I see my kids got it. So I just planted some more into the ground. What should come into my life? Harvest. So guess what? I got another harvest that's coming. I got a little harvest that was in here on the front row. Okay, but now some harvest. Watch this. But watch this now. But this harvest comes in the form of a bonus. So now I got an unexpected check for my job I didn't even expect to get. Now I got a check in the mail that I didn't even know I was going to get. Man, somebody done blessed me. Somebody in my family died and left me some money. I didn't even know that money was coming. That's unexpected increase coming into my life. That's the bonus. So now your bonus, watch this now. Bonus has come. But then sometimes when life is not working the way we want, some things happen that we can't control. It's called unexpected bills. Come on up here, Mr. Bill. This is Mr. Bill right here. What happens is bills, unexpected things come up. Let me say it like this. Unexpected needs come up. And these needs, watch this, might not be supplied because I ain't got enough harvest for them. Some of these needs look like, ooh, I got a higher than a normal electricity bill. Oh my God. Oh, my car needs to be repaired. Oh my God. Oh my God. I got some taxes that increase that I need to pay. Oh my God. Oh my God. Here's a big one. Some medical bills I did not expect. So now I got some need in my life. But God already saw this need coming. That's why now he supplied you with bonus money. He already saw it coming. So he gave you some overflow. So watch this now. Your need has already been met from seed that he gave you. But most people eat the seed. So now, watch this. So good. So this is my increase right here. This is my harvest. I don't even have to pay this need from this harvest. I could pay it from my bonus money. And it ain't even touch my savings.
Yes. Did y'all get that? Amen. Now listen, when God created everything in the beginning, he put seed into everything he created, and here's why he did it. So that could be reproduced. Everybody say reproduced. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 11, they're going to put the verse on the screen. It says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, let it bring forth the herb yielding seed, Let it bring forth the fruit tree, yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed, watch this, was in itself after its kind. Now listen to the ERV translation of that verse. Then God said, everybody say God said, let the earth grow grass, let the earth plants that make grain and fruit trees. The fruit trees will, watch this, will make fruit with seeds in it. I'm gonna read that again. The fruit trees will make fruit with seeds where, church? In it. And each plant will make its own kind of seed. Let these plants grow on the earth, and it happened. Everybody say, and it happened. So listen, God put seeds into his creation. He put seeds in the animals. He put seeds in the plants. He put seeds in the fruit. He put seeds in the vegetation. He put seeds in mankind, and that's how you can reproduce and have babies. And that's why two people of the same sex don't work. Amen. Amen. So one of the things that makes sowing seeds so powerful is that the process of seed time and harvest will always be around as long as the earth is here. Listen, that means that if a need comes up in my life, if I planted some seed, I can expect a harvest because Genesis 8:22 says, while the earth remains, question, is the earth still here? While the earth remains, watch this, read it with me, church. Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not what? See, so really if we shorten that, it would say that while the earth is remaining, there will be seed, time, and harvest, and it will never cease. So as long as there is seed, God can meet my need. Everybody say, as long as there is seed, God can meet my need. Now here's the problem. The problem is you and I will only act on what we have faith for. So I have a question. Touch your neighbor and say, he's about to ask you a question. Now this question I'm about to ask is actually for everybody. Okay? And I want everybody to participate when I ask the question. But it's also specifically for people who have not started tithing yet. And in addition to that group, it's also for people who tithe and give no offering. You say, Beck, let me just explain something. Unfortunately, most pastors and most churches focus so much on tithing that they fail to educate their church with full truth. Everybody say full truth. See, half truth will make you half free, but full truth will make you fully free. Say amen to that. Malachi chapter 3 verse 8 in the New Living Translation says this, should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, well, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? He says, you have cheated me of what, church? Tithes and, come on, say it again, tithes. He says, you've cheated me in tithe and offerings, and it's due to me. So here's my question to everybody, and I want you to participate, and I want you to participate by raising your hand, okay? If I said to everybody, if you will tithe and give offerings for a month, and after a month, you have not seen God produce some increase. You haven't seen God cause some favor come. You haven't seen God open some windows and open some doors and create some prosperity in your life within that month. If that has not happened, I will give you back every dime you gave in your tithe and offering. Who would do that deal? Raise your hand if you do that deal. Okay, look, keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. Now look around you. Is that almost everybody? That's pretty much everybody. Now, I'm not sure why the other people don't raise their hand. Maybe they like, look, God don't have to do nothing. I'm going to do it anyway. Well, here's another question. For those who raise their hands, especially for those who are not tithing and giving offerings. So why is it that you have faith in me more than you do having faith in what God said? Because if I promised you I'd give your money back, I'm a mere man. But see, God said he is not a man that he should lie. So why is it that you are more prone to say I'd do it if you do it, Pastor Evan, when God said, no, if you would do it, I'll do it because I'm God. So let me tell you why you raised your hand with me. Let me tell you why. Because it's easier to trust who you can see and what you can see over what you can't see and who you can't see. And here's the problem with that. Touch your neighbor and say, he's about to tell you your problem. The problem with that perspective is this. Anytime we have to see to believe something, we're operating in flesh other than faith. And the problem with flesh is, out of the flesh dwells no good thing. And the Bible says the only way that we can please God is with our faith. So if you are walking by your flesh, I gotta see it, I gotta touch it, I gotta believe it. Faith says no. According to Hebrews 11:1, it says now faith, it's the substance of what we hope for. But also the faith is the evidence of what I can't see. I don't have to see it. You know why? Because my faith is the evidence of what I can't see. So, that illustration I gave was pretty good. And so I asked the media team to, they're going to put some slides up. They're not going to do it yet. I'm just prepping them. Because something happened to me on last week and I want to demonstrate it right here in front of you. See, I'm trying to raise up a group of people that God can trust with unlimited resources. And see, God will only give you what he can trust you with. So last week, while I was doing the third service, one of my sons in ministry, a pastor I cover, who has a church in West Dallas, he has his service, he greets his members, and then he drives all the way here into Arlington to come and sit in service. I didn't even know he was coming. He sits in service. After service was over, I asked him to bring him in the back so I could just greet him and hug him. And when he walked in my office, he brought with him an envelope with a check in it. The check was for $300. Now listen, I didn't know he was coming. Therefore, I didn't know he was bringing a check. Which says that God was already putting it on his heart to give something to me, and I didn't even know it. Because when you put seed in the ground, God is the king of the harvest, and he's preparing things in advance, even if I can't see it. He was working on that man's heart before that man even got here. He was working on that man's heart before the man even gave me the check. And so he gives me this check. So what I want to do is show y'all what Pastor Evan does every time he gets seed. So the first thing you're supposed to do is bring the first, which represents the tithe, which represents how much, what percent? 10%. So put up the first screen for me. Put the first screen up for me. So here's what I did. I went online. Can you see that? And I gave 10%. That's the wrong one right there. Oh, there it is. Okay. No, that's it. That's it. Okay. So if you notice, it says tithe. How much is that? $30. Now, this is an advertisement for Push Pay. See, back in the day, you had to, like, give tithe, and then you had to log out, and then we'll go back in. See, you can do it all at one time now. So I gave my tithe. So give me the next screen. What did Malachi say? Bring the tithe and what? Okay, so Pastor Evan brought an offering. How much was the offering? 10. You say, well, Pastor Evan, how'd you come up with 10? Because the scripture tells us clearly in the New Testament, when you give, you make up in your own mind what you should give. It didn't say make up in your own mind how much you should tithe. That's already made up. God made that up for us, right? So I decided, okay, I'm going to give 10 out of that. My tithe was 30. I'm going to give 10. But then, watch this now. If you notice, I gave an additional 10 to Project 360. He said, why do you do that, Pastor? Because this building is part of the Project 360, meaning that it took money to buy this building. This building ain't paid for. So Project 360 is designed that if we all give to it regularly, we can pay this building off, because I want to build another building. But I don't want to have two mortgages, do you? Absolutely not. So watch this. So now my total is $50. I obeyed the Lord. Then this week, I had a meeting with one of my staff. The meeting was over. They came back in about an hour and a half later. Knocked on the door. They didn't realize I was meeting with Pastor Polo. He's a witness of what I'm telling you. They come in the office with a crispy $100 bill in their hand, smiling and happy. Pastor, oh, I'm sorry, Pastor. I didn't know you had a meeting. I just want to give you this. I'll tell you about it later. I'll tell you what happened. I don't know what happened, but what I do know what happened is I got $400 that week. I know that. Now, I'm just saying, this is behind the curtain. You know, the Wizard of Oz had all that thunder and lightning. Oh, why are you coming to see the Wizard of Oz? And there's a little bitty man in the back. Well, I'm showing y'all what's happening in the back of my life. Okay, so I can't tell you all of what I did, but I just mentioned some of the things like tipping valet drivers and all I get. And as a matter of fact, you know, I got a new microphone. So two guys came yesterday to help me make sure it's good for the day. I gave both of them $100 and we probably spent an hour in here. Well, $100 an hour ain't bad, right? Right. So I added up. One of our young people that's in college, you know, I told them I'd help them buy their books. So I sent them, I cashed up them $425 for them to buy some books for their college, right? But when you add all of what I gave out this week, it was $965. It was more than what I got in from seed. But see, I'm smart. You know why I'm smart? Because money in the world is called currency. A current means it's got to move, right? So just like when you put money in an investment and that money goes in there and starts making money, you don't pull it out. Why? Because you want that money that's making money make some money. That's called compound interest. Well, I believe there's another term that I'm introducing called compound giving. You know what happens? See, God is multiplying that number right now. So even though I gave out more than what I got, I know he's compounding my giving because he knows that I'm going to need a compound blessing one day. Everybody say that's behind the curtain. And then just to add it, did I give y'all another thing? Keep going. There's another one. Okay. See, that's it. Reoccurring. See, that offering I gave this week, that was from increase. But I do offering every week just because you're supposed to do that in my mind. It's reoccurring. I want seed in the ground. So it don't matter what come up, I got harvest. And listen, and the way God works, he don't need you to have the harvest right now. Something can happen and he can cause the harvest to happen. Right then and there. Which is where now I'm going to share this story. It's found in John chapter 6. And last week I gave reasons to ask yourself, how do I know if I'm need-minded versus being seed-minded? Well, here's another reason. It's when your needs seem bigger than your seed. It's when your need seems bigger than your seed. In other words, it's when you and I are facing, you know, bigger things that seem bigger than God's promises. So when we face some things and our need looks bigger than our seed, what will happen is we'll start leaning to our own understanding, or we'll lean to our default settings. Because you know we all have default settings. You know that, right? That's why you still cussing. It's a default setting. Right? So when things happen and we don't trust God or his word, we go back to default settings before we were in Christ. So in John chapter 6, this is when Jesus now was feeding 5,000 men plus women and children. Now in John 6:5, it says, when Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come to him. And he said to Philip, where shall we go and buy some bread so all of these people might eat? And this he said to test or prove Philip, because he himself knew what he was going to do. And Philip answered and said to him, 200 pennyworths worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for every one of them to take a little. I get that. See, I grew up Presbyterian. We had real bread during communion, not this wafer stuff that we had today. Now we had the real bread. And we had the real grape juice in real glasses, not that plastic stuff we got today. And so I was a kid, you know. To me, it wasn't communion. It was bread to eat time. So all the adults would take a little bitty peach out of that loaf of bread. I mean, it was a little bitty peach. You know, I've seen them. But when it got to me, oh no, I'm taking a lot of Jesus with me. Thomas said, even if they got a little, it wouldn't be enough. So let me explain real quick what this penny worth means. Because back in those days, that was referred to as the Roman denarius. The Roman denarius was a currency back then. And so this penny worth was a denarius. And the denarius was roughly around a day's wages for an average person. So here's what I did to put this in today's perspective. If we took an annual salary of about $65,000 for a person, and we do the math, that comes to about $250 a day for someone who works 5 days a week and not on the weekend. So if we were to take that 200 times that 250, it would come up to be $65,000 worth of bread. So that tells me a couple things. Jesus has 65,000 on him. He said, well, can we go to buy it? So that means he had to have the money, right? Are you all with me? But here's the beautiful thing. He already knew what he was going to do. So think about this. Jesus had a $65,000 need. How did he deal with it? Well, look in verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, hey, there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, small fishes, but what are they among so many? And this is where our point is coming from, because it's when your need seems bigger than your seed, that's why I'm reading the story. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. There was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and watch what he did. He gave thanks. He distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to them, and then they, and those that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, they didn't just take a pinch. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so nothing will be lost. See, that's management, and I'm going to talk about it. Because see, some of us, we don't see the harvest because we mismanage the seed. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above. So let's analyze this as we close. What did Jesus have to feed the people before they gave him the little boy's lunch? I'm going to ask the question again. What did Jesus have to feed the people before they gave him the little boy's lunch? Nothing. It ain't a trick question. He didn't have nothing. He just said, hey, we need to go buy some. So he didn't have nothing. Everybody say he didn't have nothing. And we know that because he told Philip to go buy some. So if Jesus didn't have anything to start with, he had to get a seed from somebody. Because listen, church, God can't multiply what you don't give him. Whatever you have need of is what you need to sow seed of. And so sometimes, watch this, here's a different perspective. Sometimes the test that we go through doesn't always come from life. Sometimes it comes from God. Because the Bible says Jesus was testing Philip. But here's the beautiful thing. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. But I want you to notice, even though Jesus knew what he was going to do already, he still needed movement. Everybody say movement. He needed movement and participation from those disciples. Those disciples had to find the seed. And they finally found the seed. And listen, let me just say this. Every harvest and every miracle requires participation. When Jesus turned water into wine, they had to first find some pots, fill them with some water, and then he was able to do it. And so many of us, we go to God and say, God, I need your help. And he says, where's the seed I gave you? So Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he, watch this now, church. Here's something that's very powerful. He gave thanks. And many of us, we know we start out with little and we curse it with our mouths. I ain't got enough. What am I going to do with this? No, Jesus gave thanks for what he had. Watch this. For God to multiply what he needed. I'm preaching today with my little diamond G's on. I'm gonna say that again. Jesus gave thanks for what he had so that God could multiply what he needed. Then God multiplied all of what he needed. And watch this. And at the end, there was more bread and fish than what that boy started with. But here's the only problem, and I'm closing right here. Here's the only problem with a seed. It loses its power when it's not planted. Oh, this, touch your neighbor, say, he preaching today. Now you may not like what I'm preaching, but I know I'm preaching. The only problem with the seed is that it loses its power when it's planted, when it's not planted. But there is something else that happens when a seed is planted. You say, well, what is that, Pastor? When a seed is planted, God not only supplies our need by providing us with seed, but that seed also causes favor to help meet some needs. And that's why 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, but this I say, he who sows small or sparingly shall reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. But he says, but every man when he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And after you and I give, watch what God does. It says, and God is able to make all grace, and that word grace means favor, to abound towards us. In other words, when you and I give, when that seed produces harvest, it does more than produces a harvest. It also produces favor. Your seed supplies your need. But the harvest of increase in grace, while the harvest of increase grace is being received. In other words, here's what I'm saying. Not only does seed produce harvest, but seed, it releases grace. So next week, I'm going to give you reasons. In fact, here's my title. It's kind of long, but I'm going to try to cut it down from next week. I'm going to give you ways favor shows up when you sow. So I'm going to close. Everybody say, he closing right now. Yeah, I'm behind the time right now. I'm behind the time. So we were in staff meeting this week, and one of the staff was explaining how their grandson has been going to the same dentist since he was 2. And the insurance that he takes, the dentist has been taking that insurance all this time. And so this last visit, the dentist pulled her in the back and says, we are so sorry, but we no longer accept the insurance that he has. But because he's been coming to us since he was 2, we've decided to no longer charge y'all to come, and you need to bring him on every regular, and whatever work needs to be done, it will be on us. Everybody say, that's the favor of God. That's when God will use somebody to use their power, their influence, and their resources to help you. Listen, giving does more than just give you money. Giving produces favor. So how do we apply today's message? Number one, you got to decide today. Everybody say today. You got to decide today to create momentum with your money by making sure it's the first movement in God's direction when you get it. Number two, I came up with this. Normally I have a take home thought. I have a take home statement. But today I got one. It's called a THC, and that ain't in the weed. I ain't talking about the weed. Here's THC. Take home confession. This is what I want y'all saying all week, all year. This is what I want you to say. In fact, say it with me. Say, when increase comes my way, seed will get planted by the end of the day. Come on, one more time. Say, when increase comes my way, seed will get planted by the end of the day. Let me tell you something, church. You can miss out on it if you want to. But see, I'm believing God that he gonna pay some houses off with some people this year. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, there's some people. He wants you to give him your heart first. If you die today and you're not sure you'd go to heaven.